Okay, today is January 27th, and we are in Divrei Hayomim Bet Perek Yudalet Pasuk Hey. Divrei Hayomim Bet Perek Yudalet Pasuk Hey. Listen carefully, because none of this is in Malachim. All right, it's just an amazing swing between Malachim and Divrei Hayomim, because some of the stories that are in Malachim
are not in
Divrei Hayomim, and some of the stories in Divrei Hayomim are not in Malachim at all.
That's why I wanted to learn it. The only one who knows is you.
What's interesting is that when you have this book in front of you, you can see how glaring it is. You see that the left side is always Divrei Hayomim, so there's no Malachim opposite here. And then look what happens the other way. All this Malachim text.
No Divrei Hayomim.
Look what's going on here. Bang, bang, bang. Missing nothing. Crazy.
Somebody spent that time.
Well, because Divrei Hayomim is called Divrei Malchei Yisrael. And what's about to happen in Malachim is you're getting all those stories about Eliyahu and Navot and the Har HaKarmel. Divrei Hayomim is not interested because that's not Malchei Yisrael. Right? Okay. They concentrated so much on David and Shlomo that they're going to have to parse Malachim very much now. Look, this is Divrei Hayomim Bet Perek Yudalid. Where are we in Malachim? We're in Malachim Aleph Perek Tesvav. Follow what I'm saying? We did all of Divrei Hayomim Aleph already. We're in the middle of Divrei Hayomim Bet, and we're barely halfway through Malachim Aleph. So we're going to have to really rush things through. You know what I'm saying? All right, but here, we're making up new stuff that's not in Malachim Aleph at all. Okay? But even Orei Mitzura, we ended up with that word. Remember, we talked about Mitzura and Bitzura. They're both labials, so M and B. Say those two words. They come in the same place in your mouth, so they tend to interchange.
Okay.
But and P interchange for that reason. Okay. So, but even Orei Mitzura Bihuda, ki shoktoha aretz, ve'eni mo milchama bashanim ha'ele, ki yiniach Hashem lo. So Asa, talked about him, I started with him last week, he built up some strongholds. Now that could be against the northern tribes who were warring with Yehuda at this time. It could be against, from the outside too. And there was peace during that time. Ki heniach Hashem lo. Vintage Divrei Hayomim. Malachim doesn't need to make this point, but Divrei Hayomim makes it all the time. If there's peace, it's because heniach Hashem lo. If you're getting if you call out to God, you always get an immediate response in this book. It's like Sefer Shoftim. Right? It's one of the purposes of Divrei Hayomim, to show the direct correlation between the actions of the kings and God's
goodness
and beneficence. V'yema Lihuda, nivnes ha'arim ha'ele, v'nosev choma u'migdolim d'losayim u'vrichim. So he said to the people of Yehuda, did Asa, let's build more. Let's build these cities. And we'll circle the cities with walls. Do you see what's happening here? Umigdolim and towers. Delosayim uvrichim. With walls and brichim are that which, you know. To fortify the walls. Can you feel what Divrei Hayomim is trying to do with you?
Make a war.
Odenu ha'aretz lefanenu, ki dorashnu es Hashem Elokeinu. Okay, the land is before us, we're succeeding, because we pursued God. Dorashnu ve'yanachlonu misaviv, ve'yivnu ve'yetzlichu. He attributes their success to their drisha, the way they pursue God. What does it mean to doresh God? Dirshu Hashem b'himatz'o, dirshu Hashem b'chiyu, says Amos, first pasuk is in Yeshayahu. So, Doresh Hashem, by performing His will, by being moral. Okay, our success is directly tied into our morality. But, be careful. He's building a lot of cities, he's building a lot of fortifications. Who fortifies you, Asa?
Hashem.
Hashem lo shamar ir shav shakad shomer. You can build as many fortresses and walls as you want. Alright, so far it's okay. He peppers it with morality at the end. But you have to be careful. You start with this kind of building.
So he
feels that there might be some threats from outside. But right now he's okay. But when you get too much reliance on that kind of fortification, there's no end. I need more fortification. I need more. And you justify it more. And you know, the best government is the government that just does just as much as it has to do. Not too much. your great-great-grandfather's kingdom was lost because he fortified too much and
too much taxation
and he burdened the people too much. So right now it's not a concern. I don't mean to make a spoiler about what's going to happen to Asa, but he had an army of people bearing shields and spears and swords and the like. 300,000. Well, that's quite an army. 280,000 from Binyamin, and they were the real soldiers. Notice that among Binyamin, you have the archers.
Is that always so? The Binyamin,
Binyamin had this great aim. Remember at the end of Sefer Shoftim? They were the slingers and the archers, also known as Crazy or Placy.
Okay. They were also left-handed, and therefore you never looked for the sword in the right spot.
Right. That's how, remember, a man got into the king of Moab that way?
Yeah.
Ehud ben Gera. So it's like, look, if imagine a tennis player who can freely use both hands.
Ambidextrous.
Mamish, but it's as good with one hand that stretches out your ability. You don't have to hit backhand, you just transfer. I don't know why no one ever did that. But that's the equivalence of what Binyamin was doing.
Like
imagine
Moshe,
a pitcher.
Moshe played
a pitcher
baseball
who could,
like that.
Yeah, our son could hit Mamish the same,
right
and left.
Yeah, I played tennis that way too.
He's naturally lefty, but he batted better righty. He could go one way or the other.
No, he's ambidextrous, and he may not learn how to make tefillin. Because they said you have to be the one way or the other.
Righty, yeah.
But he can only write with
his left hand. No, it's a psul in Fakotchim. If you're a Kohen, you can't work in the base of Mikdash like that. You have to be totally righty, only righty.
So Kohanim can't be lefties?
No.
They work
in the base of Mikdash. They can do other things. They can.
Okay.
Yeah, they come from the tribe of Binyamin anyway.
Okay, so Binyamin were these expert soldiers, and because they were in the south, they fought together with Yehuda. Hence we speak of the 10 lost tribes, right? Because Binyamin and Yehuda are not lost. You see, Mordechai from Binyamin is called Ish Yehudi, right? Because they're mixed. I don't know why no one ever, it's so obvious, it's like an elephant in this room, is that Shimon was also with Yehuda. Shimon was totally assimilated.
Like
should be nine lost tribes. Shimon Binyamin. Why isn't Shimon counted here? Shimon was mamish assimilated into Yehuda. They didn't have the land of
Israel. Well, they count them as lost because they assimilated even beforehand.
Maybe.
So their identity is lost because they're mixed
there.
In.
Right. In other words, if you look at any ancient maps, you see Shimon is even below Binyamin.
But Binyamin is with Yehuda, but always kept its own identity, and that's probably the difference.
To fulfill, Achakem B'Yakov, V'Afitzein B'Yisrael. You get it? Levi maintained an identity, but they weren't in any one identifiable place.
They were all over.
But they knew that they were a Levi.
So you're saying that Binyamin were lefties?
No, yes. It says in Tanakh that they taught themselves to be.
Ezer killed Eglon, he was a lefty.
Yeah, that's interesting.
When they checked where his sword was, it was
they
on the other
side.
And his sword was on the right side.
The righty takes out his sword from this, and then they check the other side.
It's amazing that after that mistake that they didn't catch on that they should check both sides.
Only says it in that one spot.
Yeah, but afterwards, right. They said at the end of Shoftim, they were fighting with four, where they showed their dexterity by fighting with both hands. Their expertise is here stressed. And you just mentioned something.
That the name is Binyamin.
Yes, Yamin. So the Yamin there means the son of my old days.
Really, Yamin?
So it's Yamin.
Kate's.
Kate's Yamin in Daniel. So that's the pshat of why you know, she called him Ben Oni and he said Ben Yamin, like Baba Yamin. However, you are correct that some of Farshim say he was the son born to me when we lived in the south.
Uh-huh.
Well, the other boys were born way up north in Aram. He was born in the south. The south is Yamin. It's where Taman, Yemen is. It's in the south of Israel. Right? When you're facing east, Kedem is Mizrach, is east. What's how do you say west? Achor.
Right.
Yama, Bakedma. Because if you're facing east in Israel, what's in the back of you?
The
Mediterranean.
The sea.
The sea. So the sea is a way to say west in the Bible. Yom Avakeit, Mitzvah. So Tzafona is left, and south. So it could be that it's Ben Yamin. So it's an irony just, that Ben Yamin is teaching himself to be a small. Okay. Okay, but and in ancient times, you know, being a lefty was considered. I think we talked about this sometime before. Lefty was like a sinister, you know.
Yeah, for a long time they were trying to make lefties righties.
Yes, that's what they did when I went to school. So I write with my right hand.
Yeah. Okay, so he accounted Binyamin separately for this reason. Next. This is an amazing number. You don't see such numbers like this. You ever see the number million in the Bible? Right? There's no number for million. They have to say thousands of thousands.
With that many people living there.
Yeah, but they didn't come. They weren't living there. They came from Ethiopia.
Oh.
Right? So you see, Mechem Zerach HaKushi, like, the story is not in Malachim.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, Vayitzei Asa Lefanov, Vayarchu Milchama Begeit Tzifosa Lemaresha. All right, so this is an interesting thing, is that Asa with 580,000, this Zerach HaKushi has a million. And they meet. Now, the question is, why isn't this in Malachim? So, okay, maybe Yirmiyahu didn't have a good enough record of this story, and Ezra came up with some records, and they included it. Or maybe Yirmiyahu didn't think it was Nebuah Shutzucha L'Doros, I don't know, but Yirmiyahu includes this. This is near Tzfas. Vayikra Asa El Hashem Elokav, Vayomar. Though this is also vintage Divrei Yamim, Asa called out to God, and he said, verse 10, Hashem, Ein imcho la'azor bein rav la'ein koach. God, you don't need 580,000 soldiers to defeat this army, this other army. Right? Ozreinu Hashem Elokeinu, ki olecha nish'anu uvishimcha banu ale hamon hazeh. Save us, God. We rely on you, and in your name we have come to face this multitude. Hashem Elokeinu ata al yatzor imcha enosh. God, no one can stand up to you. No human being can stand up to you. Yatzor means to stop, but it means to. I remember when they pointed. Shaul. It said ze yatzor ba'ami. He can say stop, and okay, people will stop, something like that. Or remember when Dan went up to the north, it says people here were Yoshevet Etzer. Yoshevet Etzer, I think that's the Lashon, and it says in the Pasuk, is that they without a king, they're all, you know, they're like ants, you know, they don't need a king, they just, everyone is on their own doing what's right. But usually society has needed a central figure to keep things. That's why we say in Pirkei Avos that you should fear the Malchus, because without the fear, people will swallow each other up. Did you know before the battle in the Tanakh against the Ethiopians? Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Outside of this story, there's no other reference to it.
I thought they were related to Shlomo.
So, with Sheba? Yes, not with Shlomo, with the Queen of Sheba. But
yeah.
No, at this early stage in history, maybe if that is the case, maybe there are a few hundred of them, but not a million. These are the Ethiopians who were living there from before.
Oh.
So Cush, Noah had three sons, Shem, Cham, and Yafet. So Shem, the Semites, right?
Yeah.
Yafet went north towards Europe, and Chom went south to Africa. And Chom had had four sons: Cush, Phut. We don't hear much about them. Canaan and Mitzrayim. So that's pretty famous sons. Ham had four sons. One was named Egypt, one was named Ethiopia, one was named Canaan, and one was named Phut.
Phut is the only one we don't know anything about.
Oh, man. Okay. All right, so let's continue. So of course, after a prayer like that, in Dira Yamin, you can only win. By your defame Asaf Ha'amashirimo, Adli Gror. Now, to go from Tzfasa Maresha down to Gror means he chased them south across the land. Gror is near Beersheba, is near, close to the coast. Vayapol mikushim la'im lahem michya, kinishperu lifnei Hashem lifnei machaneh. There was, michya usually refers to like food, you know, ala michya v'ala kalkola, but here it means something to give them life, to give them chayonut, right? Okay, the Kushim, the Ethiopians fell, right? There was no one to sustain them, and they were broken before God and before His camp. And they took very many spoils from them. And while they were at it, they conquered some of their cities that they were holding on to there. Right? Now, these areas near the coast that the Philistines inhabited were not all fully conquered. Certainly not right away. Right? The Philistines lived there for a long, long time. Pretty much by the time of King David, they were... After that, we still hear from them here and there, here and again, but nothing significant like there was in the time of the Shoftim. V'gam oholei mikne hiku v'yishbu tzon larov u'gmalim v'yishuvu Yerushalayim. They also took spoils of many sheep and goats and cattle and camels, and they brought them all back to Yerushalayim. None of that is in Malachim, and none of this either. All right? Let's see the next story is about a nevuah of a prophet named Azariah. This prophet is not mentioned in Malachim. Amazing. Azariah ben Odeid, Haysa'alav Ruach Elokim. The Spirit of God came upon this prophet named Azariah. Now the king of Israel shortly is going to have the same name. He's called Azariah or Uziah. Familiar with the name?
Uziah.
That's a pasuk in Divrei Yavam. It's coming up soon. Vayitzei lifnei Asa v'yemer lo, Shma'uni Asa v'chol Yehuda v'Binyamin. Hashem imochem b'yoschem imo, v'im tidushu yimotzei lochem, v'im tazvu yazov eschem. You know, what's what he thinks that he, why did he have to say this? So far, so good, no? By the way, he says, Shma'uni Asa b'chol Yehuda. You forgive Asa for thinking this sounds a little, if this is a direct quote, doesn't this sound a little harsh? Should you refer to the king as Hamelech? Shma'uni is like, you know, it's usually the way you speak to Ahab or someone like that, a bad king. Mm-hmm. So far, Asa has been a very good king. So what does he mean? Shma'uni Asa b'chol Yehuda
b'nyamin. Well, since he has Ruach HaLakim, he can see that he's about to turn.
Yeah,
he's going to come forth from his victories.
Yeah, there you go. God is with you as you've been seeking Him. God will always be with those who seek Him. But if you reject Him, Im tazvuhu, yazov eschem, He'll leave you. Right? Mita keneged mita. V'yamim rabim liYisrael, lelo elokei emes, ulelo kohen moreh, ulelo Torah. How does this pasuk fit in? With chapter 15, verse 3. What does this mean? What is he saying? He says, many years have gone where we have not had a true God? What does that mean? We haven't had a true teacher, Kohen teacher, and we have not had Torah. So what the prophet means to say is, at least according to Rashi, Perish, he's saying that
we quit.
No. He's saying something good to him. He said, according to Rashi.
But now it is good.
Saying now, before you, there was no one to seek out God.
Right.
Since when? From the time that Shlomo went there. There's been Rechavam, there's Aviyah, right? And it covered some years. It doesn't matter how long it is, but it can take just a relatively short time to forget a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So he says that we haven't had true Kohanim to serve, and we haven't had people who really, really upheld the Torah. Okay? Ein mi shesho'ela. There's no one to ask your questions. Right? Because it says, Kichol asher yuru eschem ha-kohanim, right? Right? The Malbim says, there was no one to ask, how can we serve God? What does God expect of us? Anything from God. You could look, open up the Torah and see. Yeah, but the little Torah, they didn't have, there was no one to teach them. Vayashav batzar lo al Hashem Elokei Yisrael, vayivakshu vayimatzei lahem. And because you returned, he's speaking to him like in third person, those who return back to Hashem, even after such a state, even if it's because of batzar lo, even if it's because of your own personal problems, God always, he's always found for people. Vayivakshu, if you seek him, vayimatzei lahem. Like, dirshu Hashem, bihimatzo. Right? And in those days, before they found God, Mitsudo says, "Ba'od yichasku b'merdam," when people were still holding on to their rebellious ways, there was no peace for those who would come and go. You couldn't travel. The roads were filled with marauders. Kimuhumos rabos. There was muhumos means chaos. People who thrive upon chaos. These marauders. Alkol yoshvei haaretz, they're affecting all the people. And if people are afraid to have commerce because of what they feel is going on in the roads, that's going to kill a society. Right? Now, what's happening in Israel now? Is that some of the restaurants and hotels, they're going to get empty when they were.
No, they don't.
No, I agree. When we were there, I looked pretty
close to me. I saw it when I was there. When I came, nobody was in the buses. Nobody was in my Miller Mall. Nobody was any place. By the time I left, it was 4 weeks. Yeah. Everybody was back out again, even though the same thing was still happening.
Yeah. We saw it full. When I went to the hotel, we saw
it all filled up again.
Yeah,
but when I came, it was all completely empty.
We came to Israel. Good. All right, so v'chutesu goy begoy ve'ir be'ir ki elokim hamamam b'chol tzara. A difficult pasuk. So the pasuk before said, when you turn away from God, chaos will fill in. Right? We're supposed to love Hashem b'chol levavcha, with your whole heart. Mm-hmm. Don't let any of the other mishagas in. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because when that happens, v'chutesu, like the Chutzu means to
pray.
Yeah, like it's the lashon that Tanakh uses for "We shall turn your swords into v'chitetu." Yochav v'sehem, turn your swords into plowshares. So the guy, one nation will just cut down another nation, and one city will cut down another city, because if they don't have that sense of propriety, that of morality, they will adjudicate their differences by cutting down and by fighting. Ki Elokim hamamam b'chol tzara. That's the God made them so confounded and so confused because with all this tzara. I mean, that's the difference between let's say two democratic nations have a flare-up and things aren't working between them. They're not going to go to war over that. They'll send over ambassadors and they'll talk it out. But warring nations against other warring nations or against democratic nations will fight. Right? Okay. Vatem, chizku v'al yirpu yideichem, ki yesh zachar l'pu laschem. Oh, so Azariah, hence, he's ending his speech on a good note, right? He says, strengthen yourselves, do not weaken your hands. There is great reward for all the good things you're doing. This is a pep talk. as far as Tanakh goes, this is very rare. You ever see a pasuk where Yirmiyahu goes to Yoshio and says, Yoshio, you're doing great work. I love it. Yirmiyahu addresses all the other four kings in his reign. And the four together ruled less time than Yoshio. All four together. Four together were 22 years and 6 months. Yoshio ruled for 31 years. All right, in reality, those 31, only 18 were during the days of Yirmiyahu. But you would think that there'd be one statement of Yirmiyahu to Yoshio in the Bible. No need. Why not?
Because
he was doing good work. There was nothing to say.
It doesn't mean that he didn't talk to him. He just didn't record it.
Right. Stay out of the way and let him run a good nation. That's what the prophet is supposed to do in terms of what gets into the Tanakh.
So why is this here?
This is an exception here. But let's see, because we'll see what Asa's reaction is. Ukishmo Asa hadvim ha'ele v'hanivuah. Right? Odeid hanavi. Now here it says that the nevuah came from Odeid, but in the beginning of the chapter it said it came from
Azariah.
Right?
Although Odeid also means to encourage as a brother.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's what I thought it was.
Right.
He learned
his son,
the son of Odeid.
Right. The Malbim, it says that Hanavur shall ben Odeid. Sometimes you can refer to a person as the name of his father like that.
What number?
Chapter 15, verse 8. It says, Vayaver hashikutsimi kol eretz Yehuda v'nyamin min ha'arim ha'shel achad me'ha'afrayim. He became strengthened, and he removed all of the abominations from Yehuda and from Binyamin. We'll see, his mother even was bad. Right? Ashelachad me'Harafraim, that they conquered from Har Ephraim, because Har Ephraim was filled with Vozor too at that time. Ve'chadeshes mizbach Hashem, asher lifnei ulam Hashem. So we get from this pasuk that something we don't know from Malachim or yet from Divrei Hayamim, that the Mizbeach needed a chiddush. The Mizbeach needed cleaning out. The altar fell to disrepair. And he had to fix it. Asher lifnei ulam Hashem. It's exactly what it's called. The ulam is the outer facade of the Beis HaMikdash. And the Mizbeach is what's down. You know that. That's the big Mizbeach we saw in the pictures. Ve'ikvot says, Kol Yehuda v'Yamin v'hagorim imahem. And he gathered all of Yehuda and Binyamin. Hagorim imahem means either converts, possibly.
Living among them.
Or just those Gentiles who lived amongst them, who wanted and considered themselves Israelis, Druze, whatever you want to. Right? From Ephraim and Menashe, Shimon. There you go. There's Shimon now. Okay. Ephraim and Menashe are close to Yehuda, and Shimon, Binyamin is north of Yehuda. Right? So it's Binyamin, Yehuda, Shimon, and then right past the Binyamin is Ephraim and Menashe. Kinaflu alav mi Yisrael arov b'rosam ki Hashem elokav imo. A lot of people from the northern tribes turned towards Yehuda at this time because they realized the corruption of their own nation. This is good. Asa is trying to unite the kingdom. Right? V'kabtu Yerushalayim b'chodesh ha'shlishi lishnas hamesh esrei l'malchus Asa. It's a tremendous, something beautiful. A very interesting thing is about to happen here. And again, it's not on any hint in Malachi. And it says the Jews gathered in the third month.
Is that Sivan?
The 15th year of Asa. That's Sivan. What happens in the third month?
Shavuos.
Look what they did. Vayizbechu l'Hashem b'yom ahu min ha'shalal heviyu. They offered sacrifices from all the spoils they took. Bakor shva meos v'tzon shivas alafim. Wow. 700 cattle and 7,000 sheep or goats. Right? Now, it doesn't say they were olos. Mstama, that all these people are eating this meat, but they offered it as a korban, as a sacrifice. V'yavo v'bris lidroshes Hashem elokei avoseim. They enter the covenant to seek out the God of their fathers. V'chol levavam v'chol nafsham. Beautiful pasuk. Do you notice that you see the word darash showing up again and again here? Everyone's making a drisha. V'chol asher lo yidrosh l'Hashem Elokei Yisrael, you must. It doesn't tell us here what this drisha is. It It's interesting when Yeshayahu says it, Yushu Hashem bihi matzok, ra'u bihi osok harok. Means call out to God. Al mi ne'amar, batelech lidrosh es Hashem.
That was Rivka.
Rivka. So Rashi says, batelech lidrosh es Hashem means she went
to the base of Midrash of Shem
to get an oracle. The Torah Hashem with a Navi. And Ban says, no, batelech lidrosh es Hashem means to
cry out to God. Pray. Pray.
Let's pray.
Then you have
a pray with a real drisha.
Shaul.
Oh, that's my next point. Is that in Shmuel Aleph, it says that when Shaul was worried about the oncoming Philistines, he tried to get an oracle from God, but nothing worked. It says he tried to dream an oracle because he himself was a prophet. The prophet Shmuel had just died. He couldn't touch the Urim v'Tumim. He killed all the Kohanim for helping David, remember? So there was no way for him to get a message from God. So what does he do? Remember?
He gets those witches.
Went to a necromancer.
Oh, yeah.
To call back Shmuel from the dead.
Mm.
Right?
Somebody came doing the shiva and said that to my daughter.
Oh, to try this. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Jewish person?
Yes. And we need a shia on how to behave at his shiva.
A frum person? No.
I don't know if it was a frum person, but she was very upset. She was very upset.
Look, yeah, I mean, it's hard to prevent from inappropriate people from doing inappropriate things, but that's a
but that one was
wall.
That one was too far out.
Yeah.
There were a lot of inappropriate, but that one was way out.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the punishment for doing that is skila. It's the death penalty in the Torah for necromancy. Anyway, but no doubt that in Sefer Shmuel it says that he tried first four different ways to get an answer from God. Okay? So one of the first things we did when we got past all the names in the beginning of Divrei Aleph in Perek Yud, it says, and it spends very little time on Shaul because we want to get right to David because it's about Malchai Yehuda. And it says that Shaul died before God because he went to a necromancer, Velo Sha'al Bashem. I'm sorry. Ves Hashem lo darash. Sorry, I meant it. It says Ves Hashem lo darash. He did not inquire of God.
But and you just said the opposite. Malvin, the that he tried that first.
They said, "What are you talking about? He did seek God first. So how can you derail him and so flagrantly contradict what's written in Shmuel on this original storyline?" So the Malvin is very clever. He said, and the Radak said it first. I'll quote his name. The Radak says, "Be very careful." It says in Shmuel Aleph, it says, "Vayishal Bashem." No answer. So then he says, "Okay, God's not answering me. Get me a necromancer, the Edrishaba."
Oh, so you use the verb you're supposed to use for God.
See,
for
in
the
Hebrew,
necromancer.
If you translate in English, you won't get the subtle difference. Sha'al means, is it raining outside?
Yes.
Sha'al doesn't ask. Doresh.
Is to ask deeply.
Is to
probe.
Probe. You know, you don't probe if it's raining outside.
That's a fact, yes or no.
Simple facts. You probe a seven-month inquiry into what's causing this infection in young kids or something. That's a doresh, right? You know, I mean, we call it, you know, the rabbi expounds, it's called a drosh on Shabbos, but it's supposed to go deeper than just the skin level, which is called a pshat. We don't call it a pshat, we call it a drosh. So anyway, so when it says v'ashvel Hashem lo darash, that's essentially true. It didn't say, if it had said, if Hashem lo sha'al, then I'd be very, very tight with an answer to that. Very, very stuck for an answer. Right? So the problem is that everyone's making drishas for all the chassidish, fashidna, that was the word I was looking for. Fashidna maisalach, and all these chalerisha, fashtungtana, things that they search for and then make a drisha for. But when it comes to Hashem, you know, they get so excited for other things, right? Okay, so that's what it says here. It says that v'chol asher lo yidrosh l'Hashem Elokei Yisrael, you must, shall be put to death. It doesn't say yamus is bad enough. Yamus would mean whoever doesn't seek God ought to die. But when it says lo yidrosh l'Hashem, you must, means shall be put to death. That's who's gonna, you know, when the king says that, all right, I'm coming, right? Lemin katon vad gadol meish vad isha. From the small to the large, men and women, everybody. Vayishavu l'Hashem bekol gadol uvitru v'chatzotzros v'shofros. And they swore allegiance to God. Kol gadol with trua. Shofar blasts. Uvchatzrotzros and trumpet blasts. V'shofros and it's a shofar. What's a trua as opposed to tzkiya? Trua are quick blasts from Reish Ayinayin, which means broken. Some, we're not sure if it's like how is it this, which is that's trua. That's shvarim. Trua is really broken. Reish Ayinayin is a broken house.
It's a cry.
Right? Yeah, that's what it says in English. Cry.
No, it's when my sons were learning how to blow shofar, we considered it a cry.
Yeah. Okay, so Vayismachu kol Yehuda al Hashvua, ki b'chol levavam nishbao, b'chol ratzonam b'kshu, v'yimansei lehem, v'yinach Hashem lehem misaviv. And they were very gladdened by this oath that they took. Do you see the pun that's going on here? Because they made the shvua with all their hearts, with all their will. Right? And it was found, God was found for them. God surrounded them with goodwill and all his protection. Because the holiday of the third month is called Shavuos. Mm. But that is called Shavuos because of the number seven. Seven weeks, Shavuos. Shavuos. It's a Kli Yakar, I just saw it recently. Parshas Vayera by Be'er Sheva, and then in this week's Parsha also, the Kli Yakar. Makes a connection between the number seven and the word for oath, in a sort of mystical fashion. But here it's clearly connected. On Shavuos, where is this in the third month? This is Shavuos. They're celebrating Shavuos by making an oath of allegiance to God and to His Torah.
Where's the first place that you know that there is the lashon of Shavuos in the Torah? Was that with Avimelech when they made the?
When Abraham and Abimelech.
And did they do seven pieces or not?
There's seven animals, there's seven calves.
So it's also the same thing of making a shvua and right. Seven.
That's where the Kli Yakar says this first.
Belongs to Gim.
V'gam ma'acha eim asa hamelech hesira migvira asher asa sola ashera miflatzes. So you see, imagine how bad things are when it says that Asa's mother, Ma'acha. Now, this is a problem. Remember last week we talked about the mothers, two mothers in a row, named the same name, Ma'acha, Basavi, Shalom. Remember that? So here it says that Asa's mother was named Ma'acha. That means Aviyah's wife. Aviyah was his father. Right? Aviyah's wife was named Ma'acha.
Okay.
Right?
But here it has presents as his for grandmother.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. It has a grandmother. It has parentheses.
Seems like they're not sure if it's the mother or the grandmother.
Oh, right, because
there were two ma'achas.
Asa's mother was Ma'acha.
And his grandmother
was Ma'acha. That's not Asa. Abiyah's mother was Ma'acha.
So were there two ma'achas? One was his mother, one was his grandmother. The same name, the same mother.
So it's easier, say, well, the Mefarshim, to just say, just like in Tanakh, for instance,
the
daughters of Ruel, the granddaughters of Ruel, they were the daughters of Yisrael. So too, a grandfather can be like mentioned like a father. So okay, a grandmother is a mother. Why isn't the mother mentioned? Maybe she passed away. I don't know. Why are we calling grandmother mother? I don't know. You can call grandfather father, you can call grandmother mother. Mm. She's the matriarch of the family. Okay, fair enough.
Or it could be that they use the same name in every generation.
Okay, but
so
what's the point of what they're making is that this woman, the queen mother, the old queen mother, was busy
doing idolatry.
Weaving tapestries to Asherah, to goddesses. However, the high places where they were serving God, of course, but they were doing outside the Mikdash. Rak levavs asa hayashalim kol yamav. His heart was with God all of his life. Right? Vayaveyes kotshe aviv v'kodashav beis elokim kesef izav v'chelim. And he brought... You know, it sounds like the story should be over, right? But it's not over. There's more about Asa. Okay, because we have to go to the other king, the king of Yisrael, next week. All right, he brought all the kachim to the house of God, all the gold and the silver, all the vessels. He managed to go 35 years without ever having to fight a war. As if the war is the norm. It tells it as if though, wow, 35 years without war.
That is
amazing.
A long time for this part of Tanakh.
Yeah. Okay.
So, we continue here next week.
Now, but keep in mind that the word Dorash, to be Doresh God, is still very, very much part of this story. If you want to peek ahead and see at the end of the chapter, you can look, but I don't want to spoil it for you.
That's what you should want to put in.